Welcome to the Storyteller's Tavern. My name is Mush Hughes.
I'm Lee Northrup.
And I'm Leah Hartman.
And together, we talk to makers and artists to learn more about the stories behind their projects and creative journeys so far. Thanks for joining us here in the tavern for Chapter 4, where all of our stories were told during the 2023 Catskill Mountain Maker Camp in East Durham, New York. Brooke and Michael from Maker's Workshop got their start via a serendipitous confluence of artistic burnout and budding makerspace potential. Based just outside of Boston, they run the Maker's Workshop, both as a physical shop and the name of their presences online. Patrick Gensel from Pennsylvania will tell you that he is a maker of things, which can clearly be seen through the items he sells on Etsy as Pine and Print. From there, he began sharing his process on Instagram, and the rest, as they say, is history. Lee, Leah, Patrick, Brooke, and Michael talk at length about the crossroads of tradition and technology, whether that's what's involved in creating their own makerspaces, 3D printing your own nostalgia and turning your projects loose on the world, or CNCing and lasering gingerbread. Just a heads up, there is a surprise appearance by Red the Shop Dog via some barking right around the 10-minute mark.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Storyteller's Tavern. It is day 3 here at Maker Camp, and it's kind of weird. We're starting to talk about people going home. People are leaving. People are missing flights, catching flights. It's all very sad that it's all coming to an end. And my partner in crime this weekend, Leah, has departed us, but I have the privilege of hanging out with Brooke and Michael from Maker's Workshop. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And then we also have Patrick Gensel in the house.
How's it going?
It's going great. So thanks so much for joining us. I trust you guys are having a great time. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. People are actually not in 19 layers of clothing today, and they're walking around and being happy. So pretty good vibe here on day 3. So Brooke and Michael, you guys run the Maker's Workshop out of Massachusetts. And why don't you just start off by telling me a little bit about what you do and where you're coming from?
Yeah, do you want to start with like what we do currently or how it all started?
I want you to start with whatever makes you happy.
Well, we run a makerspace outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And we've been doing that since...
About five years,
a long time at this point. And we salvage lumber. And that's something more recent, where we, you know, take storm lumber and fallen trees, and we kiln dry it, plane it, and prep it for woodworkers and things like that. And we make content too on the internet.
Awesome.
Is there anything I missed?
I think that's pretty much everything.
I really wish I had like a zippy two-liner for it, because whenever people ask that, I'm always like,
That was great. Patrick, what do you do?
So I do a little bit of everything. I started in the maker world professionally during COVID, like many people do, but I went the route of e-commerce and selling stuff on Etsy instead of the content route first. So started selling a bunch of stuff on Etsy, really enjoyed what I was doing, really got into the whole just e-commerce world and how much I loved like finding new niches and ways to monetize them. And then I had been on Instagram for a long time. I'm like, you know, I'm not using this account anymore. I'm going to go in the maker direction with this account, and then started doing content as well.
Awesome. And Patrick, you've been a friend for the last couple of years, and I've just really appreciated your support throughout the years of the show, and as from Mush and I, like, mm-hmm. It's been great to get to know you. So some new friends, some old friends, and here we are sitting all together. So, Brooke and Michael, you guys talked about, like, well, do you want to start it about now or where or what? So, like, why don't you start from the beginning and tell us where you guys all started?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Michael. Because when I met Michael, like, for about 10 years, he was a glass and metal artist. I don't know if people know that about you.
I actually learned that.
Yeah.
Digging. Because when you guys were on the other show, I was like, because I didn't know you guys yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Michael's look on his face is like, I don't even know if I know.
Do you want to talk about that, or do you not have much to say about that at this point?
I mean, I haven't done it for a while.
Yeah, you just burned out. Like, you did that for... Like,
you know, we had a gallery, you know, so we were selling work, and it got real hard when they started bringing glass in from overseas.
Okay.
Yeah.
To just compete with the pricing, and kind of lost the fun.
Right, and Patrick and I were talking about the whole Etsy piece, and when you start making stuff, because, like, to get a paycheck, like, it turns into a factory, and it's, you lose that. Like, the first, I was talking about this silly project last night at the fire that I started making, and the first one was really fun, and then someone wanted to buy the second one, and I was like, that's really cool that somebody thinks enough of my work to pay me a couple $100 for it. And then you make, like, the third one, and you're like, wow, a couple people want this, and then you make the seventh one, you're like, damn it, I hate making this now. This is just not fun anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you get into it, I think most people probably get into it because you're a creative person and you're wanting to be a creative person, and that's what draws you to it in the first place. But very quickly, when you need to, when you look at the profit margin you're making on a single piece of work being sold, and you start doing the math and figuring out, well, then how many of these do I need to sell to make this a full-time income? Very quickly, the amount of energy that you're spending on making versus the amount of energy you need to spend on selling and fulfilling orders, it starts swinging really hard that way. And I think that that's, there's obviously so many people make it work, but I think in our case, we just hit a wall where we're like, this isn't why we got into this. Like, if I wanted to just go to work and get paid and go home,
eventually it became not even making things anymore. We were just kind of curating other people's things.
Sure.
Right.
And the town that we were in, at one point we looked around and we were like, this store's full of crap. Like, how did this become this? It was all like dollar coins and things like that, you know, that people would buy.
Right.
But it's like, this isn't what I got into it for.
Yeah.
So Patrick, where did your story start?
So my story in the making world started a long time ago as a kid. My dad had a wood shop in our house I grew up in, and I actually inherited a lot of those tools from him, but I was always in there working on stuff with him. And then as I got older, you know, you do the teenage thing and the 20s thing, and you go do something else. And then about 8 years ago, I found 3D printing and fell in love with that. And that's kind of what pulled me full circle back into the world of making things. And then from there, the CNC ended up in my shop, and then the laser ended up in my shop, and just fell in love with digital fabrication. And taking something on a computer screen and making it a physical object, there's not much more exciting than that to me.
And we're kind of some outliers in the digital fab world. Like, 3D printing, laser cutting is definitely like my tools of my trade. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of being a teacher, obviously. But in this community, like, we're kind of the weirdos, right?
Yeah, I was at a 3D printing festival last weekend in Maryland, and I'm like, okay, I feel 100% like I fit in here, where at this event, if it wasn't for all the friends and the community I have, I wouldn't know anybody, or I'd feel a little bit out of the loop.
And that was neat for me to be able to, we just had the maker swap, and I was able to give the 3D printed chess set to somebody, and like, it did incorporate the community of Maker Camp. It also had my little digital edge to it, which it's hard to do. But you also do some amazing woodworking too.
It's more that's more like my passion, joy thing that I have no expectation of generating an income from. I just make stuff because it's fun. And the woodworking I sell is CNC'd products, so it's not traditionally woodworking, but I mean, I'm still playing with wood.
Right.
Yeah.
It still requires traditional finishing and things like that. Absolutely. You can't get away from the traditional, even with the tools.
Yep, exactly.
So we have two different kind of shops here. We have the public makerspace, and then we have Patrick's World of Wonderland. and so what, as far as when you walk into your space, like, what's the vibe that you guys are trying to create?
Our makerspace caters mostly to, like, engineers. So we get a lot of engineers.
That come in on their weekends or with their off time with their kids, maybe to share their passions with their family, which is really nice.
Heavy focus on the digital fabrication.
Cool.
Yeah.
Enrollment, like, what's the what's your population or membership right now?
I don't even know.
We don't even know.
It's still weird post-COVID.
I mean, in our area, like, I get it's been different everywhere, but we're outside of Boston, and so when people talk about the pandemic still, like, it's this distant past. For us, I think things didn't go back to normal until, like, May of last year, like, entirely normal. So for us, we're still on that weird, like, transitional kind of post-pandemic downturn.
Like, before the pandemic, on Friday night, tables would be filled, people got takeout, it was just kind of like an overall, like,
place to hang.
Kind of like this, but weekly.
Yeah, like, the vibe was like hanging out in a living room. I would, like, bake cookies, and everyone would just, like, come together and make things, which was so fun.
All right, so Patrick, talk about if I was to walk into your space, like, what am I feeling? What am I thinking?
A lot of a nerdy 90s retro vibe.
Nice.
Call back to my childhood, 3D printed Mario related stuff and yes. Zelda stuff, board game type stuff. That's kind of the vibe of my 3D print shop.
Right.
My wood shop is very industrial and like old barn type wood shop. So it's just a converted garage. So I kind of have two different vibes in the high tech, if you will, digital fabrication side of my shop. It's very much modern, but with this retro video game vibe.
Cool. So why did you guys start a makerspace? What was the point?
Well, Michael was selling work and being a full-time artist, and when I was like really young, I was in college, I started, I was in business school, and I was in a sales class, and I wrote a curriculum with Michael's help for programs to go into schools that, and at the time, nowadays you say makerspace and people kind of know what you're talking about, you say STEM, STEAM, people get what it is, but at the time it wasn't. Red says hi. She's very excited to be here. At the time, it wasn't like a word people knew or they knew what you're referring to. But, you know, so it was basically like hands-on curriculum where I would design projects for students to build that incorporated building techniques, but also science, math, engineering, digital fabrication. And I thought I could sell it to schools and like get it into schools. And I was in a sales class, so one day I was like, I think I could do this. And I like called every single private school in the state, and most people just totally ignored me, but two places said yes, which was enough to get started. And once I started with those two schools, it was really successful. And by the time I was graduating college, I was like, I don't really want to get a full-time job at a desk. That sounds miserable. My degree's in finance and marketing, which I don't know if people know that about me.
Yikes. Wow.
But I was like, I really don't want to have to sit at a desk all day. So at the time, Michael was burned out of selling his work and stuff. And so you wanted to buy a CNC machine and had heard about this makerspace thing on the West Coast. So I was going to need like an office and like a ground zero for what I was doing. You wanted to try something new.
And just start making things again.
Yeah. So that was how Maker's Workshop, as it is today, came to be. So Monday through Thursday, I would use it to run the education programs and school programs. And then on Fridays, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was makerspace for the public. We didn't sleep much, but it was really fun.
It's amazing. And one of the things that, you know, I've been in middle school education for 23 years now.
Yeah.
And turning kids into makers and inspiring others, like somebody asked me earlier, they're like, what do you make? And I was like, I I make makers. Like, that's kind of what I do and trying to inspire others. And I think that's what we're all here doing with each other, is inspiring each other and trying to be, you know, I talked about Maker Swap. You walk into that room and you see all of that stuff that people make. And it's just so humbling to like have something that you made that, you know, you think is pretty, pretty cool, but then you put it next to these other pieces and you're like, holy moly, these people are so amazing that we're around.
Yeah.
So it's cool, like, what you do to try and, you know, inspire the kids, inspire people in your community, get people making. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. It's like, that's what keeps me going. I like making my own stuff, too, obviously, but it's so much more fulfilling for me if I can make something cool and then, you know, post it to the internet, do something silly with it, and then see where other people go with it. I like that a lot. Like right now whenever I design something for the laser cutter, I put the digital files, they're available on our website for people to purchase. And my favorite thing is when I design something and then someone will DM me a picture of like they bought the files, they downloaded them, they changed them a little bit, and then they'll send me pictures of how they did it. And that makes my day so much, so much more than someone saying like, wow, Brooke, good art you made. I don't care. I'm like, thank you. Obviously, keep thinking, thank you, but
you don't answer with, I don't care.
I do care, but like the biggest compliment is if someone is like that, and that made me think of this, and that made me think this. That's way more fulfilling.
When you get that feedback and people work with your work and want to do more with your work, it's, and because they're building on that, like that's
exactly
a lot of what we're doing here. Like
I don't think anybody looks at some of the stuff that they're learning today and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to that leatherworking, Ethan's leatherworking class. I'm going to make 50 sunglass cases when I go home exactly using Ethan's template. Like, that's not what they're thinking. They're saying, I want to learn the skill through the vehicle of a sunglass case, and then I want to maybe do some leatherworking.
Iterate on it, yeah.
Exactly.
So, what's the coolest thing that you guys have done this weekend?
I think the maker swap is really cool. I made a picture frame. That was a lot of fun. And
I heard good things about that. It is beautiful.
My wife is pumped about it, so she'll be happy when I get home with that. But I don't know. I'm a high-tech guy, like it seems like we all are, but I'd never played with a Shaper Origin, and I got to play with the Shaper Origin today.
That's a cool tool.
So cool.
So Shaper Sean and I have been talking about using the Trace, and I don't know if you guys have
I
seen
love
that.
The Trace.
And this is a shameless plug for Shaper, but that's going to be a really neat thing to just be able to trace on there and then throw it into a digital file and use our lasers.
I got my Trace about a week ago, and I use it almost every day.
That's very cool. So let's just focus on the community here for a second, and. You know, we've been coming here for years. How many maker camps is this for you?
We were at the very first one.
Awesome.
So I don't know how many that is. We missed one in the middle.
Well, there was like the COVID one, which I think was like an unofficial maker camp. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't at that one, and I think we missed the one the year after.
So yeah, then I guess we've missed two. But yeah. So
did you do the Burning Rabbit?
We did. The Jackalope? We were
the
here
jackalope
for the Jackalope.
The Jackalope was last year.
Oh.
And then I think that there were... What was the
Wasn't
one
Wasn't it a
T-Rex?
T-Rex?
Oh, it was a T-Rex.
And you know what's funny? I, like, in my brain, we were here for the T-Rex, but I don't think we actually were. I think we just saw it all over Instagram and stuff, and so in my brain I was here, but I'm like, I actually don't know if I was.
We left on Sunday,
and
when I saw pictures of the T-Rex and everything, and then when we were here last year for the Jackalope, I was like... What kind of idiot would leave before the last night of Maker Camp? So, Patrick, you're leaving soon?
Tell us more.
But there's nothing burning today.
There's fireworks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
East Durham fireworks has got me excited.
Yeah. And I saw a firework truck drive it in, so.
This morning, cool. So it seems plausible.
That's going to be fun. And Austin always puts on a really, really good show, so. That's good. And, you know, it does make me really sad to go home and to, you know, my friend Patrick is going to roll out of here, you know, shortly after we say goodbye and we have a toast. And but it also kind of gives me that hope and inspiration of the next time we get together, be it Workbench Con, be it, you know, the next party, whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be good, and I'll take all these lessons and you know, the metaphorical lessons that I learned from just conversations like this, and then the physical lessons of leatherworking and you know, the things I learned at blacksmithing today and all of that. So where do you guys want to go? Like, where is your maker journey taking you?
I want to dive deeper into the e-commerce rabbit hole. I love the game of looking at the data and seeing what's trending and how can I create something that scratches that itch for people. I just enjoy that stuff.
You're a data nerd, huh?
I kinda.
Yeah. it came through really big last night, and I'm excited to kind of dig down that with you. So that'll be fun. How about you guys? Where does
Do you
want to
answer this
go?
One, Michael? For where we were heading.
We're still revamping the makerspace. We definitely want to keep going with that.
Yeah, we just kind of need to, like, get into a new groove with it, like we were talking about, because we're still doing that. And then for content, we have some really exciting stuff coming up.
There's something you want to tell us about.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not sure. Yeah, so we want to do more work with, like, we love old stuff, too, and, like, historical, like, just, I don't know, just, like, cool, like, honestly, historical engineering, historical architecture, things like that, so... we're working on a gingerbread house for the winter time in partnership with the Newport Mansion Preservation Society.
Cool.
And if you watch, I don't know if like this niche of people listen to this podcast will watch, but the Gilded Age on HBO season 2 is coming out.
Okay.
And in conjunction with that, we are doing a laser cut gingerbread house replica of one of the sets of the show.
So
which
cool.
is yeah, which is in Newport, Rhode Island. We were just filming in Newport, Rhode Island earlier this week. So I'm excited about that. We're going to be doing all of it, a lot of it on the laser, and then I think you had some ideas for
CNC
CNC and
portions
stuff.
Of it.
I'm gonna have to bake a lot of gingerbread. I'm sure Michael will have to bake.
So
some
you're
gingerbread.
Saying you, this might be the first time that gingerbread has ever been machined by a CNC?
I don't know if it
I haven't
is,
seen it
actually.
On the CNC machine. No. Definitely seen it on the laser, and we did laser last year.
Yeah.
I remember when you guys did it last year.
Yeah, no, we were able to. A lot of people saw it last year, yeah. Which was really cool. So I was so excited to get the opportunity to do that. But in terms of our content, we want to do some more cool stuff like that because,
nice.
I don't know, it's just a little different and it pulls on a lot of our passions.
From the concept of taking something old and then making it modern by making it digital.
Yeah.
You know, or things that were made traditionally at one point, but now, you know, here's the way you can do it with the CNC machine.
That's neat. So I don't usually like on the show talking about stuff that I'm doing in my classroom, but your segue was perfect. And I was on stage doing a keynote speech a few years ago, and I was like, Makers isn't just a, you know, geeky boy stuff. I was like, it's, you know, it's boy stuff, it's girl stuff, it's cooking, it's sewing, it's growing, it's cutting, it's like, and I listed all of the things. And there's this moment where I pause because I was like, I'm full of crap. Like, I don't cook anything in my classroom. Like, I was like, I'm literally up here on the stage lying to these people. And I went back and Chef Craig at my school, our school chef, I was like, dude, I want to cook something in the tank. What can we do?
Yeah.
And he's like, he and I spent 5 minutes together and we came up with the gingerbread project where the kids out of seventh grade geometry take something to scale and, you know, smaller and then build it out of gingerbread. So we use the lasers, we use gingerbread. My room smells absolutely delicious, you know, for
better
part of 2 weeks.
When we laser cut gingerbread, it was smelled so bad. I thought it was going to be delicious in there and it smelled horrible.
So... because it's the burning of the gingerbread, like the searing on the top, but when they're actually, like, because they'll, like, do the molasses
and
the
sugar and
the flour, like,
in the classroom, you're getting the baking smells.
Oh,
we just, I baked ours off-site last year.
Yeah, so he actually takes it to the school kitchen and cooks all of these sheets, and then we've had the Eiffel Tower, we've had the Golden Gate Bridge, we've had the Louvre Museum, we've had Atlantis, like, in Nassau, like, so they recreate these buildings, and then every year I have this big, huge gingerbread village.
That's so cool. I love that.
So
do you ever post pictures of that or no?
Because
it's in the classroom, which gets a little fishy sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm allowed to post pictures of the student work, just not of the students.
Gotcha.
So, but it's I can certainly share them with you, and it's special to see that village where, you know, cooking and maker, like, kind of come together, and some pretty rad geometry too, which is super fun.
Did you get to eat any of it?
No. And
did it taste good?
No. Dude, when you see these middle school kids and their hands are, like, all in it and they're, like, wiping their nose and then going, and you're just
saying.
Like, I don't ever want to eat gingerbread again. Like, I just, I go home, there's a package of gingerbread cookies. So, like,
fair,
I'm a pass. Like, just, I have, some pretty traumatic memories of what goes on in that gingerbread. And the kids are always like, can I eat this now? I'm like, no.
What age group are they?
Seventh graders.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But this has been a ton of fun, and I've really enjoyed it. So as we're wrapping up, I appreciate you guys taking the time. Patrick, I know you're trying to hit the road and all that stuff.
I didn't want to miss this.
Awesome.
So.
Well, we've been trying to get you on for a while, so it's neat that this finally happened. So why don't we start with Brooke and Michael. Where do people go to learn more about you?
Well, our Instagram handle is Makers Workshop LLC. And then, is that the same on all platforms?
Yep.
That's our TikTok. Our YouTube is just Makers Workshop, though.
Nope.
No.
Makers Workshop LLC.
Yeah. Unfortunately, someone else has without the LLC, so we just did it on everything.
And so if they're listening right now, can you contact Brooke and Michael?
Just contact us. We can talk. We'll work it out.
I got to give your doggie a shout out. So tell us. I wish that sometimes this was a video podcast because people need to see this dog.
Well, they can. Red the Shop Dog on Instagram.
Yeah.
the Norwegian Duck Trolling Retriever has its own Instagram handle?
Yeah, she does. We got it for her. I think the day... Isn't that so bad? Like, the day we adopted her, we were like, get the Instagram.
So funny.
Not because... We just want to make sure we had it, you know?
It's kind of funny as we're going around the table, like, where do people go to learn more about you? Where do people go? Like, and now they know.
Red the Shop Dog on Instagram.
Red the Shop Dog. That's going to get more followers than I have right now, which is...
That's always how that goes.
It's not hard, but yeah. Patrick, where do people go to learn more about you?
I spend most of my time on Instagram, and it's just my name, Patrick Gensel. You can find me on YouTube, too. It's just Pat Gensel on YouTube, because it was another one of those things where somebody already had Patrick. But, I haven't been doing a ton there, but I'm looking to get back into the long form game. So, if you want to follow me there, look for stuff in the future. But yeah, most of my stuff, all the stuff I'm working on in the here and now, is over on Instagram.
Cool. And as is tradition, somebody gets to lead us out in a toast. Have we talked about this?
We talked about it, but like, what do we toast to?
We toast to whatever you guys want. Patrick, do you have one?
To new and old friends in the maker community.
Cheers, you guys.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
We just heard from Brooke and Michael and Patrick Ensel. You should check them out online to learn more about what they do. Brooke and Michael are at Makers Workshop LLC on all platforms, and Patrick is at Patrick Gensel, mostly on Instagram. That does it for this episode of the Storyteller's Tavern. We hope you enjoyed and will join us next time. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at sttavernpod or at sttavernpod.com. Please consider subscribing to hear all episodes from this and future chapters, and consider rating or reviewing us wherever you're getting these episodes. We had some tremendously generous support in making this chapter of the Storyteller's Tavern happen. Thank you to Turtle Boat. Not only do they make wonderful resin, paint, varnish, and all sorts of other stuff for makers and DIYers, but they're just outright good people. Check out what they've got at TotalBoat.com. A major thank you goes out to the Tasting Lab in Greenville, New York, right next to Maker Camp in East Durham. Please stop by the next time you're in town to check them out, or visit thetastinglab.com to learn more. Finally, the biggest thank you goes out to Austin, Maker Camp, and the Blackthorn family, both for your support of this show and for putting on Maker Camp. The community has been and will continue to be positively impacted by your love and support for years to come. Visit CatskillMountainMakersCamp.com to learn more and get tickets for next year as soon as they're available. If you'd like to help support this show directly, you could do so by visiting patreon.com/sttavernpod. The Storyteller's Tavern is an independent production of Lee Northrup and me, Mush Hughes. This chapter also features Leah Hartman on the mic, to whom I am as forever indebted as I am immeasurably grateful. Music and episode production done by me, and you can find Lee, Leah, and me on Instagram at thetinkerteacher, leah.learning, and makermush, respectively. Finally, if you or a maker you know have a story that you'd like to share at the tavern, or just want to drop us a line, you can send us a message on Instagram or reach out to us at contact@sttavernpod.com. But until next time, keep making cool stuff, do good, and be well.